Welcome to episode 469 of the Tent and Thrive podcast, brought to you by Tent and Thrive Ministries. I'm Peter Anderson. 10-10 Thrive, 10 minutes a day based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. On Thursdays, we tend to focus on verses for reflection and perhaps memorization. Today, we are visiting the book of Mark as a part of our wrap-up of 100 days in the New Testament. Today, we also want to focus on the second guideline for abundant living. And while we may not review several different texts, we'll highlight one passage from Mark for deep consideration. But first, what is that guideline? Let's go back to the Old Testament. Exodus 20 verses 4 to 6. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. Bowing down or serving carved images. The King James Version uses the term graven image. The New Living Translation uses the word idol. At first blush, it doesn't seem as if this has modern relevance. What bearing does a prohibition against idolatry, given more than 3,000 years ago, have on your life or mine in the 21st century? We tend to think of idolatry as a sin of the past or something in Eastern mysticism. Idol worship is something practiced by those who look to little wooden trinkets, a golden calf, or other images of gods for their needs. We certainly don't think we have modern-day idols in Western culture. But idolatry is surprisingly modern and very prevalent in our culture. Part of the reason we don't think about idol worship today is because our definition of idolatry is off. We think idolatry is confined to bowing down to a golden statue in an ancient temple or praying to a wooden trinket. Since we don't do those things, we assume we don't have idols. But we do have modern-day idols. Lots of them. They may look different than the idols of the past, but we still practice idolatry today. An idol is when something or someone becomes more important to us than God. By that definition, even good things can become idols when we make them the ultimate things in our lives. Anything or anyone can become an idol if we place the value for that thing or person above our value for God. Christian author and pastor Ed Stetzer, in an article called Idolatry is Alive Today, gives this idolatry definition. Is it that a 12-inch tall piece of wood or bronze can do something bad to us? Or is it that we do something awful to ourselves when we place adoration and attention that should go to God in other things? When it comes to idolatry, the danger is not an item, it is in us. Theologian and Christian apologist Tim Keller, in his book Counterfeit Gods, says this: an idol is anything more important to you than God, anything that absorbs your heart and imagination more than God, and anything that you seek to give you what only God can give. Mark 7 verses 5 to 6, and the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? And he said to them, well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. This is the key for us to remember today. In vain do they worship me. We can have idols and still think we are worshiping the God of the Bible. We leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. For the Pharisees, religion was more important than God. They were more consumed with enforcing the do's and don'ts of everyday life than they were with loving God and or loving their neighbor. Their so-called righteousness became an idol. Even good things can become idols if we are not careful. Ministry, hobbies, charity work, or family can usurp the rightful place only God should hold in our lives. When we emotionally rely on anything other than our relationship with Him to validate us, we are breaking the second commandment. This commandment also contains a warning for future generations. God is saying that if we don't deal with idolatry in our generation, we will pass it down to our children and to their children. Children learn to handle life by watching their parents. When children observe mom and dad running to a bottle, a pill, another romance, or a shopping spree to make them feel good about themselves, they follow that pattern. When children watch their parents spend time, money, and energy on worldly pursuits, they naturally copy those values and will raise their own children to do the same. There are many more modern idols than we might realize. Many have abandoned who we are in Christ and placed our identity in other things. Whether it is our social media following, our position at work, our political party affiliation, our abilities or skills, or the achievements we are after, many have their identity wrapped up in the wrong thing. For some, their identity has become an idol. It might not be a physical object like what we tend to associate with idol worship, but when we place more value on who we are rather than in God, that identity has become an idol. Western culture has bowed to money and possessions for generations. The pursuit of money and the acquisition of things is a guiding force for many. It's an idol. Jobs used to just be a means to an end. For most people, it was just what you did to provide for your family. Now what you do has become who you are. You don't have to look very far to see an ad that promises to fix our physical appearance, to make us look better, younger, or like your favorite celebrity. Why are those so common? They work. Many of us worship our physical appearance. We spend hours in the gym, obscene amounts of money on products, and constantly think about what others are thinking about us. Sex might be the only thing we think about more than money. It's everywhere in our culture. We have taken a gift from God and made it into the God of our lives. And for many, their lives are controlled by sex. To even question the sexual ethic in our society will bring outrage and offensiveness, showing how tied to our idol we actually are. Our sexual identity, sexual practices, and sex-filled lives are sacred to us. Your iPhone, your IG account, your TikTok obsession, Netflix, vacations, podcasts, your children, your need for comfort, all these things can become idols. When we enjoy God's gifts, as He created us to enjoy them, they will not compete with Christ for our affections. God made us to wrap our arms around a spouse, or fill our stomachs with food, or enjoy the splendor of nature. But when an idol eclipses the light of God's face, spiritual desires limp. Bible reading becomes a formal affair. Spontaneous prayer dries up. Fellowship feels less urgent. Left unchecked, innocent enjoyments become thorns, ready to choke out our spiritual desires, as in the parable of the sower in Mark 4. If we find that a hobby, friendship, or form of entertainment is keeping us from God's word or from our knees, something radical needs to change. This second guideline for abundant living is similar to the first. God needs to take center place in our lives. It's about worship. It's about commitment. It's about priorities. It's about who gets our attention and our focus. Father, help us to put you first in all things and at all times. May our worship not be in vain. May we not have a preference for the things of this world, the doctrines and standards and protocols of man, rather than what you have commanded us to do. That's our episode. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.